Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The meltdown continues with Twitter. People at Twitter are losing their minds. They're angry. They're crying. They're frustrated. And now we have all the leaked audio from Twitter insiders who are exposing just how liberal Twitter has been and really what they've been up to. Now, we also know and we understand now exactly why Twitter is so angry that Elon Musk bought it. We know from financial statements that 99% of Twitter employees donated to Democrats, according to federal records. Now, the GOP is now urging Musk to move Twitter headquarters out of California. Many are hoping that he'll move it to Austin, Texas, just like he did Tesla. But I want you to listen to how much of the money Democrats could count on coming from employees of Twitter. Also want to remind you very quick, if you've not hit that subscribe or auto download button so you get our podcast alerts every day so you know we've got the new show out there, make sure you hit that real quick while you're listening. Twitter was not just an unbiased company, right? They were incredibly biased towards Democrats. You could actually make the argument now that Twitter was nothing more than the another apparatus, wing of the Democratic National Committee of Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden. If you were a Democrat, Twitter was your safe space. And they made sure that Democrats were always winning and Republicans were always being censored. Take a listen to this.
Well, good morning. Elon Musk says in order for Twitter to restore public confidence, the platform has to allow free speech for all. In a recent tweet, he says for Twitter to deserve public trust, it must be politically neutral, which effectively means upsetting the far right and the far left equally. And then there's this meme tweeted by Musk to his 86 million followers targeting Twitter's top lawyer, who has defended the platform's decision to ban accounts and tweets deemed to spread misinformation. This is it's revealed that 99% of political donations from Twitter employees go to Democrats. That's according to Federal Election Commission records. That leaves some Republicans to form their own conclusions about left-wing bias.
The wokers who run Twitter are intolerant. They're intemperate. They're also not normal Americans. They believe, for example, that kids should be able to change their gender at recess. This is American. You can believe what you want, but they can't and shouldn't censor those on Twitter who disagree with them.
And Republican politicians also urging Musk to do what he's done with some of his other companies, and that's move Twitter out of California to a more tax-friendly state with a lower cost of living, like a red state. Jacksonville, Florida Mayor Lenny Curry tweeting, "The invitation is open. Come on, Elon," at Elon Musk and at Jimmy Patronis. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying, "Bring Twitter to Texas to join Tesla, SpaceX, and the Boring Company." Meanwhile, a claim by the left-leaning organization that the FCC has the authority to block Musk's deal because of a conflict with his ownership in Starlink, well, that's been rejected by the agency's commissioner, calling the idea, quote, absurd. Back to you guys.
I love it. I love how Democrats are, like, totally freaking out. Like, you can't buy this. You must stop it. And now they're like, no, that's absurd. And actually using the words absurd. That's the best part of all about this, right? They're literally using the word absurd to describe the new demands of the extreme left. Now, employees who don't know what free speech means are demanding that Elon Musk be stopped. There was a lot of big moments from Twitter's all-hands-on-deck meeting on Elon Musk. And Project Veritas recently released leaked audio of an internal all-hands-on-deck meeting at the Twitter at their headquarters following the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk's successful takeover bid of the company. Now, here are just some of the most notable moments from that meeting. Number one, in leaked internal recordings, Project Veritas revealed that Twitter employee reactions to Tesla CEO's company's takeover was filled with anger. The meeting lasted around 45 minutes. Employees questioned board member Bret Taylor and the CEO of Twitter about the future of the company and Musk's motives for purchasing the platform. During that meeting, Twitter's CEO stated, quote, "Twitter is at its best when all diverse voices in the world feel safe and feel encouraged to engage in the public conversation." That's not been the case, by the way, while he's been the CEO. This is him trying to save his job and hoping that Elon Musk will hear this, which he knew he would, and thinking maybe they can somehow work together and he can save himself. That's my opinion. The CEO of Twitter went on to say, "That belief is what drives us to have a diverse workforce internally on all dimensions." Well, we know that's a lie. How do we know it's a lie? Because 99 point X percent of all Twitter donations actually went to Democratic candidates. In fact, I want to pull that number back up because I do think it's important that people understand where these donations are coming from. 99.2% of all Twitter employee political donations went to Democrats. 0.08% of donations, which was only $505, actually went to conservative or Republican candidates. 99.2% of all employee donations went to Democrats. How can the CEO of Twitter look at his employees and look at the world and say, quote, "That belief is what drives us to have a diverse workforce internally on all dimensions, to have multiple perspectives and points of views represented internally so that we can emphasize with all our customers all around the world and serve them in the best way possible. That is a core belief of mine. That doesn't change." Well, if that was true, then you wouldn't have 99.2% of all donations going to Democratic candidates. You're a liar. The Twitter CEO is a liar. Now, of course, this view from him appears to be at direct odds with a number of conservative voices censored on the platform for making statements such as, "Someone born a biological man is a man," or even simply questioning Shakespeare, which we now know can get you kicked off of the platform. Let me go down that rabbit hole real quick. As you may know, weeks ago, Twitter censored a Shakespeare scholar for quoting a line from one of his most famous plays. Twitter censored that Shakespearean scholar in Britain for quoting a famous line. An associate professor at the University of Nottingham in England was warned by Twitter over using the platform for abuse for quoting the famed line, "Let's kill all the lawyers," posting in support of an upcoming production of Henry VI, Part 2, by the Royal Shakespeare Company. He went out there and said he was really excited that these people, that certain actors were taking the stage with the company for today's Henry VI press performances. Break a leg, everyone, and do kill all the lawyers. A line from Henry VI, Part 2. The social media platform removed the post for violating its abuse and harassment rules, the Times of London reported. You may not engage in the targeted harassment of someone or incite other people to do so. This includes wishing or hoping that someone experiences physical harm, Twitter told the academic. Now, following this censorship act, the Shakespeare Bulletin, an academic journal for which the professor writes, told its followers they should be careful what you quote, adding, make sure you go and see this play. It's an inflammatory production of Henry VI's play, which must not be discussed on the Bird app. This is what Twitter, and this is how stupid they are. Now, let me go back to the employees for a second. Some of the most interesting exchanges between employees and management were really just shocking, because during the meeting, the Twitter CMO, Leslie Berlin, asked one of the individuals a baffling question, quote, is there an updated understanding on what free speech means that we're aware of? Question mark. The CEO seemed confused by the question, responding, I think we all understand what free speech means. I don't think it's about an updated understanding of that. It's been in a concept that exists for a while, but I think I'm going to try and read the question behind the question here, which is, where might Twitter's products go as a private company in the future once this deal closes? The CEO then said that in order to gain perspective, the company will bring in Elon Musk for a Q&A with staff and spend time with him to understand better what his vision for the future of Twitter might look like. Now, Berlin later asked Taylor, how did the board, and this go back to attrition, how did the board and Mr. Musk plan on dealing with a mass exodus, considering the acquisition is by a person with questionable ethics? Also, how much input given background did Jack Dorsey have on this? Right, because when liberals lose, they can't bear to admit they lost, and so now they do what they do well, which is burn the place down. That's what they're saying here. Like, how do we just stop this? Is there a way to stop this? How do we silence them? Is there a way to silence them? Taylor responded that Jack Dorsey was part of the Twitter board and supported the acquisition vote, but will share his thoughts on his own time. He said in relation to attrition, as the CEO stated, one of the themes of today is continuity and ensuring that the CEO and his leadership team continues to operate the business successfully on behalf of our users and on behalf of our customers. He added that was obviously been a big topic of discussion at the board. And as I mentioned, an area that is important to Elon Musk as well, because of the importance of Twitter as a service. They then were angry about this and said, well, what will happen to our army of censors? Berlin questioned the CEO, stating Elon made it clear in public that large part of the reason he bought the platform was because of our moderation policies and disagreements in how we deal with health, something that we place in value very highly within our, quote, company. This activist who works at Twitter continued, this puts Twitter service and trust and safety, as well as anybody who cares about health, on the platform in a very difficult position. Can you speak your thoughts on this and how those teams will be supported? Question mark. The CEO responded that he believes, quote, Twitter's growth as a service allows for more people to use the product and have a better experience because we are able to make the conversation on Twitter be safe, because we are able to eliminate manipulation because we're able to remove spammers because we have built tools, processes for people to be able to feel safe and control their experiences. Translation, I'm not answering the question. Because all these people now are trying to figure out, do I try to save my job by shutting up? Or do I go rogue like these people asking the questions and know that I'm probably going to be fired because I am a crazy leftist who can't just actually go to work and do their job? You've got to be an activist.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have
been
the podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The CEO of Twitter went on to say that Twitter will continue to, quote, refine its moderation and content policies in an effort to improve the product and the health of the public conversation. Now, it's very clear that the left knows they have another option to stop Twitter, and that is to try to get people like Apple and Android stores and others to ban the product just like they did with Parler. Now, you may remember how that went down, where the Amazon took them off their servers, and then they were the number one leading social media app in the App Store, and so Apple decided to crush them, to silence them by saying that they were too dangerous to be in the App Store, and they took the app off the App Store. That is exactly, by the way, how they're planning, and that's what Democrats are now advocating for. That's what they want to happen. They believe that they can maybe get rid of Twitter by saying that the app will no longer be available on your phone. And if you have an iPhone, and the majority of users that use Twitter have an iPhone, that one day, just like Parler, Twitter will no longer be allowed in the App Store because Democrats are planning on attacking Twitter every single time they do something they don't like, claiming it's a threat to people or persons or harassment or racism or bigotry or white supremacy. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. That is their next game plan. That's how they're going to pull this off. Now, the entire 45-minute video is very interesting if you listen to it. And in these leaked internal recordings, what is obvious is that Twitter employees' reaction to the CEO Musk buying the company is they are furious that now all of the things they were able to do in the past no longer work. Right? They've lost power. And that's exactly what Project Veritas has been able to do. Project Veritas has gotten these videos and they've exposed them. They've gotten them and it's out there and it's clear what they're saying and what they mean. Now, these leaked audio recordings from Project Veritas about these internal meetings, they've got a real problem with free speech, right? Like that's the main thing here. It's all about free speech. Twitter, as you may remember, permanently suspended Project Veritas's James O'Keefe. O'Keefe said, "I'm going to sue the platform." Now he may not have to since Elon Musk owns it. But this is what they do to anybody that tries to silence them. Right? That's all they do. It's all about silencing them. Now, let me let you just hear the sum of this audio recording, right? What actually came out so that you can hear kind of where they started, how they started this 45-minute recording of the company-wide call during which Twitter employees questioned the board members, Brett Taylor, the CEO, and about the company's direction, right? Here is one of the audio recordings I really want you to hear. This is Leslie Berlin, the CMO of Twitter. And this is, and you can hear, these are the people that are losing power. Now, this question is about losing power.
Elon made it clear in public that a large part of the reason he bought the platform was because of our moderation policies and disagreements in how we deal with health. This puts Twitter service and trust and safety, as well as anybody who cares about health on the platform, in a very difficult position.
I believe Twitter grows as a service, allows for more people to use the product and have a better experience because we're able to make the conversation on Twitter be safe, because we have built tools, processes for people to be able to feel safe and control their experiences. I believe that there is a lot of work we have to do to continue making that better. Sometimes that means more thoughtful moderation. Sometimes that means making things simpler. Sometimes that means changing product incentives to be able to solve problems through products sometimes instead of policies.
Now, you hear that CEO in the response. He's clearly trying to vie for his job, right? He's trying to play both sides of this. Now, Leslie Berlin, at every Twitter global all hands, I read real-time questions that come in from our employees. It's always open and unfiltered. An audio clip of me reading was leaked, edited, and misrepresented as the company view was. She's now come out to say she's angry, saying that she was doctored. Now, she got busted, right? And so Project Veritas did this perfectly. They just put out little snippets of this meeting. And then immediately the left at Twitter took the bait. And they're like, you took me out of context, right? You didn't say the whole thing. And then what did James O'Keefe do? Very brilliant move. He said, okay, I'll release the entire tape so you can see that, in fact, we didn't take you out of context. That you are a crazy liberal that wanted to silence conservatives. That you were silencing and had hit lists at Twitter of people that you want to make sure you shut down so that no one would see their tweets. You shadow banned people. He called their bluff, which was the best part of all with this. Like, calling the bluff is amazing. Calling the bluff is exactly what should happen here, right? This is incredible. And these Democrats now realize that are running this company that was not a free company. It wasn't a fair company. It was not about about having a grand debate. It was, we pick winners, we pick losers. We amplify the winners and we silence those that we hate. And that is what they have done since the very beginning. They've really done it in the last several years. And these internal audio recordings prove everything that we that Twitter has been known to do and has been accused of in the past. You know, we even see now, and we've learned that apparently some of the negative news on Joe Biden, they have pushed down in the algorithms. You look at Biden's economy right now, GDP shrinks to 1.4%, far worse than expected. Recession fears are now growing in this country. Is that on the Twitter platform? The way that they were running it, would it be prominent? Would it be at the top of the trending? The answer from what we understand is no. If you had tweets about illegal immigrants coming into this country, we know that they suppress those tweets. If you had undercover video, we now know they would suppress those videos. If you had videos that were out there and you were conservative putting them out there, we now know that they would do everything they could to silence those videos as well. Yeah, you may be able to get it up there, but does anyone get to see it? Babylon Bee, by the way, which was a major deciding factor in Musk buying Twitter, they've actually now put out a hilarious tweet with satire, saying that Twitter employees are undergoing therapy. Twitter labels tweet with a warning. That's right. The Babylon Bee, the Christian satire website, which Elon Musk contacted before making his offer to purchase Twitter, issued a tweet linking to a video that joked about a Twitter employee undergoing therapy due to the imminent takeover by Elon Musk. Twitter literally reacted by labeling the tweet with a warning that it was potentially sensitive content. The Babylon Bee has been suspended from Twitter for a March 15th article that jokingly named Health and Human Services Secretary, Assistant Secretary Rachel Levine as Man of the Year, this mocking Time Magazine naming her Woman of the Year, even though she is a dude. The article stated that Levine is the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, where she serves proudly as the first man in the position to dress like a Western cultural stereotype of a woman. Now, that's funny. He is also an admiral in the U.S. Public Health Services Commission Corps. What a boss. Rachel's message is to be true to yourself, quote unquote, and we couldn't agree more. This man is breaking barriers and showing all the true meaning of courage. The Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dillon revealed that is when Musk, a fan of the site, contacted the Bee. He asked if it was true that the site had been suspended by Twitter. Musk reached out to us before he polled his followers about Twitter's commitment to free speech. He wanted to confirm what we had, in fact, been suspended. He even mused on that call that he might need to buy Twitter. Now he's the largest shareholder and has a seat on the board. This was obviously their quote from right after everything went down. Now he actually owns the company, has took it over. Dillon pointed out that his site could have been restored to Twitter 12 hours later if he deleted the tweet linking to the Levine article. Dillon said, "We're not deleting anything. Truth is not hate speech. If the cost of telling the truth is at the loss of your Twitter account, then so be it." 10 days after the Bee article about Levine, Musk asked on Twitter, "Free speech is essential to a functioning democracy. Do you believe Twitter rigorously adheres to this principle? The consequence of this poll will be important. Please vote carefully." He then wrote phonetically, "The consequence of this poll will be important. Please vote carefully." I love it. The video of the Twitter employee undergoing therapy was posted on April the 15th. It shows a therapist meeting with a Twitter employee who complains, "It's terrible. I've literally lost my ability to even." After the therapist discovers the cause of the employee's distress is Musk's offer to purchase Twitter, he asks her, "What is it about Elon buying Twitter that actually bothers you?" Quote, "If he buys our free speech platform, people will be able to have free speech on our platform," the woman whines. "Well, that's just stupid," the therapist agrees, and asks, "Let's go a little deeper. What exactly bothers you about someone having free speech on your free speech platform?" Quote, "If we don't have the unilateral power to ban ideas we don't like, we actually have to discuss and defend our ideas based on their own merit," the employee responds. "And what's the problem with that?" the therapist asks in the fake video. "In fact, you know what? Why don't I let you hear the Babylon Bee's own words? Because it's just amazing.
Dr. Pollen, I'm your 2 o'clock.
Oh, hey, Mandy. Have a seat. What can I do for you?
It's terrible. I can't even. I have literally lost my ability to even.
Well, let's calm down. What was it? Some sort of tragic loss? Death in the family? No one misgendered you, did they?
No, it's even worse. Elon Musk wants to buy our company.
All right, not another one. All right, just tell me, what is it about Elon buying Twitter that actually bothers you? And remember, this is a safe space. There's no judgment here.
If he buys our free speech platform, people will be able to have free speech on our platform.
Well, that's just stupid. All right, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's go a little bit deeper. What exactly bothers you about somebody having free speech on our free speech platform?
If we don't have the unilateral power to ban ideas we don't like, we'd actually have to discuss and defend our ideas based on their own merit.
And what's the problem with that?
It's just everyone who disagrees with me is a Nazi. So it's imperative that I change their mind with force and violence.
Very interesting. Let's try something else. I'm going to hold up some shapes, and I want you to tell me exactly what you see.
Nazis, Nazis, Nazis. That one kind of looks like a lip. Nazis, Nazis, Adolf Hitler, Nazis. Oh, I know that one. It's the Hindu symbol for peace.
The one that she says the Hindu symbol for peace is actually a Nazi symbol. The rest of the pictures he was holding up were actually bugs. Now, of course, this is a satire and hilarious video, and Twitter labeled this as sensitive content. Now, Democrats also tried to have the FCC reject an effort so they would block the purchase of Elon Musk of Twitter. And the FCC has rejected that effort to have them block Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter. The Open Markets Institute issued a release that called for the FCC, the FTC, and the DOJ to block Musk's purchase of the social media company. They claim the transaction posed a, quote, direct threat to American democracy and free speech. So a guy that says he's for free speech, who's buying a company to advocate for free speech, they're now saying can't own the company because they said it would be a direct threat to American democracy and free speech. It would be a direct threat to liberals' idea on democracy and liberals' idea of free speech, which is they're the only ones that get to talk and no one else can. Commissioner Carr issued the following statement, short and sweet, in response, saying, quote, the FCC has no authority to block Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter, and to suggest otherwise is absurd. I would welcome the full FCC making it clear that we will not entertain these types of frivolous arguments. Now, other Democrats are also trying to figure out how do we stop this, right? Representative Kat McCamick mocked MSNBC and said, quote, I can't believe it took Musk buying Twitter for them to finally wake up. Democrats, also Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, losing their minds. Take a listen to this.
Elizabeth Warren, this deal is dangerous for our democracy, as they always say.
How's that?
Why is the left, why is the left's head,
why is
head
free
exploding,
speech dangerous?
As Steve said?
Well, I guess this could, you could chalk this up to another situation of you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And in this case, Elon Musk has come in like a real life Iron Man and has purchased Twitter. And I think our friends, I use that loosely, over at MSNBC had a great statement when talking about what the potential fallout or what could happen from this. They said, this is dangerous, you know, with Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, you know, we could actually see one party controlling the narrative. We could see censorship. This is terrible.
Oh my goodness.
I can't believe it took Elon Musk buying Twitter, but hey, they finally woke up.
Was that MSNBC or the History Channel? Because I do believe that actually happened. Congresswoman, you know, the reason their hair is on fire is because they know the power of social media. And they, the political left, have, you know, with their partners in the social media corporate structure, they've been able to tamp down speech on the right. They kept that Hunter Biden story from being circulated around the Twitterverse and whatnot, and got Joe Biden elected president.
Isn't that amazing? And that's why we are at this place and this juncture today, because big tech has not been held accountable. That's why Section 230 reform is so important. The censorship of conservatives and bringing that diversity of thought into the equation is critical. We have to make sure that all voices are heard. And I'm telling you, things are going, a lot of liberals are going to need a safe space, because there's going to be a reckoning coming. I know that we saw Tucker come back, a few of our others, Mark Levin came back on Twitter yesterday. I'm just waiting for President Trump to make his reentry into the space, and then we're really going to see some heads exploding.
He says he's not going to do it. He's going to stay on his platform, which Truth is called
Social.
Truth.
We'll see.
That's right.
By the way, I do think Donald Trump should come back. So many people have asked me about this, and I understand he's got a business deal with Truth Social. Truth Social wouldn't exist, in fact, if it wasn't for censoring of people like Donald Trump. Joe Rogan had this to say about Trump coming back.
And I wonder how quickly it is before Donald Trump's back.
I think I already saw the thing. He said he's not going to come back, even if Elon bought it. I didn't see a reason why, but that's variety report.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because of his Truth Social social media. Why are we playing around with this Twitter when we could be on Truth Social?
Is that big?
That's Donald Trump's social media
but
platform.
Is it big?
The biggest.
Is it?
It's the best. It's the biggest. The biggest of all time. They say that Twitter's not as big. Donald Trump says, I'm not going back to Twitter, even with Elon Musk taking over. Donald, reconsider.
I love, by the way, Joe Rogan there. He's right. It's so big. It is the biggest. Unfortunately, the rollout of Truth Social was kind of a disaster, and it stifled it. And now Twitter is where people have the most number of followers. And that's the reason why it's still going to be the biggest. And Elon Musk is going to save it. And I do hope that Donald Trump reconsiders. Now, he may not be able to, because there's this business deal with the people that own Truth Social. He may be locked in a contract where he can't use Twitter, right? Where it says, hey, you got to use this one. Otherwise, we're not doing this investment. Because without Donald Trump saying it's his, this Truth Social never would have happened. Devin Nunes, by the way, was on there. And he was asked, because he's running that company now, about Twitter. And Donald Trump, and this is what he had to say about Twitter and, again, the president not coming back. Listen.
If President Trump, former President Trump, decides to run again, do you believe that he will never rejoin Twitter? Because it really, he always talked about how much he loved the vehicle that it was for him, because it was his direct way to reach people, and boy, did he reach a lot of them.
Yeah, but I think if you see, we're number one in the App Store right now.
Yes, Elon Musk tweeted that, actually.
Even through our beta testing, Martha, it's important for people to know that we had such a huge rush of people to join that already many of the greatest talent and the best content creators that were during our beta process were getting more engagement, not only on Twitter, but also on Instagram. And so, you know, we're just going to continue to build. We're building a community. It's really a lot of fun, right? It's fun to build something new, and it's fun to see people get their voice back. I mean, you have people that get so emotional on our platform because, you know, we truly are and still are, you know, we can't be canceled. We moved last week to Rumble's cloud. It's important. So we're not using AWS, Microsoft, IBM, all the woke corporates.
Yeah.
We're not using them. So we're that family-friendly place. Safe to be. People are having a good time on our platform. And look, we're going to continue to make improvements
over
time.
Well, there's always room for...
Again, I understand the sales pitch aspect of this. I do. I have a Truth Social account, but it's nothing compared to my Twitter account now that my Twitter account basically has been given back to me. I hope that... I love that there's two different places to speak, right? But I think Joe Rogan is right. I think Martha McCollum is right there. Like, Donald Trump needs to probably come back at some point to Twitter. He says he's not. And legally, he may have this deal where he just can't, right? Or he has too much invested, whatever that reason is. But I think especially if he runs for re-election, coming back to Twitter could be massive for his reach. And I'll leave it at that. All right. Don't forget to share our podcast. Thank you for listening. And please auto subscribe or download our podcast. I'll see you back here tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.